6:04, and I call this meeting to order. We'll begin with the board roll call. Paul Ashton, chair, present.
Bobby Strang, member, present.
Jeff Tigdor, member, present.
Morgan Kane, member, present.
Kurt Vondren, member, present.
Everybody's here. Full board meeting I've had in quite some time.
Ever.
No, no. Kurt's history. Didn't we have like one, like 3 years ago?
I wasn't there at the meeting. The one meeting she attended.
Okay.
Oh. Yes, you are correct. So
never.
So the next item on our agenda is a public comment period, and so I believe we have two members of the public here. So if they would like to introduce themselves, that would be great.
I'll introduce Rosalind Tyson.
Sure.
She is actually one of our meat eaters.
Okay.
You all just approved her a few months ago. She's been with us. So she was here for mediation and decided to stay and see what happens after hours. Mr. Shelby.
My name is Donovan Shelby.
Hi, Donovan Shelby.
Welcome. And we also have an open forum, so if anyone wants to, any member of the public wants to have a moment to comment or provide any feedback to the office.
Mr. Shelby, did you have any comments?
I just came just to observe and watch. I was curious on who you people were and what brought you together. And I'm just observing.
Okay.
I actually have a lot to say, but this is my first time, so... My lip and just observe,
okay.
Listen, see how things get done.
Sure. Great. So the next item on the agenda, thank you so much for coming.
And thanks, yeah, you feel very welcome here, a lot of smiles.
And
like
thank
that.
You for all the work.
Warm, very warm. I feel warm.
The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the November 15th meeting. If the board members could take a moment to review those minutes.
Ethan left?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, too bad.
Is there a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Board meeting minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is old business. Is there any old business, Mike?
We have no old business.
So then we're going to move on to the agency report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the agency report, I first want to mention, as I've mentioned in the last several meetings, that our level of complaints remains extraordinarily high. However, it's leveled off somewhat from the increases that we've been receiving over the last couple of reports, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute when we get to these complaint statistics. But that's always the main bullet point that we have to talk about is the level of complaints. The second critical issue I want to mention and just update the board on is the ACLU lawsuit against the District of Columbia. On November 16th, the court granted in part a preliminary injunction motion against the district, and the court indicated it's going to issue a written order with the terms that it wants MPD to abide by on how to report stop and frisk incidents. We are waiting for that order to come out to see what's going to come of it. Nobody's, as far as I know, the written order has not been distributed yet, right?
Correct. I just confirmed that with the ACLU yesterday.
Okay. When that comes out, we'll let everybody know what the status of that is. Also, Alicia is working on a policy recommendation. It's still in the drafting stages. It hasn't been shared with MPD yet, but it will be probably in the near future, next maybe a couple weeks or so, I would think, judging from the stage we're at now. And that policy recommendation is going to be concerning utilizing civil lawsuits, things like excessive force, other lawsuits of that type that are filed against MPD, and using those lawsuits and information and data from them to help improve policies and procedures and training of the department. So that's what we're working on now. When we get to the stage of having more or less a final draft, we'll share it with all the board members so I will have a look at that and offer your comments on it. Also in the board report, there are several instances of outreach. Most of them are SITs. We have a pretty strong SIT program, and there were a lot of visits, SIT trainings done, despite the fact that it was over a holiday period. This is typically a shorter meeting because it was, you know, over an extended holiday period. We had very little press and media coverage, which in many respects is good, at least in this case. We have hired a new investigator, Samantha Jeffrey. She is not here tonight. She had to leave a little bit early today. She is from the Baltimore Civilian Review Authority. She was working as an investigator there, and we hired her here very recently. We had another investigator leave, Ethan Trent. Some of you might remember him. He started out as an intern with our office, and he got a few years' experience here with us as an investigator, and now he has transferred over to Department of Human Services as an investigator, doing a different type of investigation, but basically fraud investigations over there. So we are in the process of hiring his replacement now. In fact, we have an interview. We had an interview already this week for that. We'll see how that goes. We had a lot of new interns starting. If you come in during the week, you'll be introduced to, I think we have, what, 5 interns now? Or 6?
6.
6, yeah. We got 6 interns working for the semester. Full house.
Is there now an endowed chair for a Marquette intern here? It seems to be every semester.
I don't know how that happens. You know, but since you brought it up, so everybody knows. Marquette has a unique program. They actually have a dormitory on Capitol Hill, a couple blocks from the U.S. Capitol building, and they have an educational building there right on East Capitol. So they also give students a stipend, so we don't normally have to pay. We don't pay any of our students during the semester, but the advantage for Marquette students during the semester program is they get paid, they get a stipend from Marquette, and they take classes, and they get their lodging covered right near Capitol Hill. So that's why it's been a pretty good program for us during the semester. And during the summer, too, we'll look at it for the summer, too, because they continue to get stipends for the summer. But it's one of the only programs where the out-of-state programs where the university provides housing here and an education. And they go to 6 or 9 credits they also get. Because there's certain days they have to take, they have to attend classes on their campus on Capitol Hill. So, and that's because Les Aspin, who was, it's called the Les Aspin Center, he's a Wisconsin congressman that started the foundation and that supports all the students and their expenses and things like that. So that's why that happens.
No other reason.
No other reason than that. Then they're free. It's free work. For us, anyway. Free to the taxpayers. And, of course, they're usually superior students.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
We, on the dismissal schedule, you'll know.
Mike, can we just back up? Sure. I was interested in the visit from the Police Service of Northern Ireland.
Oh, you were, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were here this week. This was a woman who was recently put in charge of a section of the National Police Service of Northern Ireland, which is a police force of about 6,000 sworn personnel spread throughout Northern Ireland. It's mostly a rural, small urban area police force, but it's a rather large organization. And she was recently put in charge of developing policies, procedures, and training on how to deal with mental ill for the police force, not just in contacts, but also in their hold-up and lock-up facilities and their jail facilities and in their complaints. And they have a civilian ombudsman that handles their civilian complaints, so she was working in part with that agency, too, to see how they handle complaints from mentally ill. So she gave us a very interesting background about how Northern Ireland Police Force works and interacts with mental health. They are in the very early stages of starting a CIO program. They're about to start a small pilot program of CIOs, which are officers that are specially trained and certified to deal with mentally ill people. And we told them about our program. I believe they were going to, Mona sat in with the meeting, I believe they're going to link up with MPD.
I think they went to the academy.
They met with
the
right people at the academy, right.
They came here, and then they came here. They had seen our, her interest in coming here, too, was she had seen our policy recommendation from 2006, which kind of helped launch the MPD's program. So she wanted to talk to us about that. And then after our meeting, they were going to the DC jail to talk to the one of the managers there, supervisor that was specifically tasked with mental health services at the jail. So
yeah, it was a program funded by her visit was funded by PERF, Police Executive Research Forum, and they sponsored her visit here. So it was very it was really interesting.
Yeah.
We learn a lot about when we have all these visits. In fact, today I got a call from an acquaintance in the State Department, and in a couple of weeks we're going to have a delegation from Nigeria here that we're going to arrange through the State Department, and that should be an interesting visit too from the Nigerian. I don't believe it's a police force. I haven't gotten all the details yet, but it's a good opportunity to exchange information and help other agencies out. And we always learn something when they come here.
This is the successor to the RUC, which had a reputation of being a very bigoted operation. Have they dealt with that, or did that not come up?
That did not come up at all. I mean, the point that she brought up right now is that they are currently without a government leadership because of.
Well, so are we.
Yeah, because of the Brexit and the issues there, and she talked a little bit about how that's creating issues in their police department too.
Mm-hmm. Causing issues, changing their mental health laws, which is causing problems with being more progressive and being able to help the situation.
Right.
It's causing problems with that. So
they're only the interesting note, and Inspector, you might be interested in this too. But the interesting thing about their mental health commitment law is their officers can only involuntarily commit somebody on a mental health observation commitment if the person is in a public place.
Right.
So if you get called to somebody's house or any non-public area outside, they have no authority to make a mental commitment.
They can't go in the house.
So I got the idea from her that the way that it was usually accomplished was they get the person out of the house into the front yard, and they suddenly have authority to do the mental commitment, the involuntary in custody. So that's creating a lot of issues for them too. Interesting.
Is there anything? I'm interested in the bridging the gap, kids and cops. Was the webinar? Are there any documents or any information? Is there any information available on what that covered or what that program looked like?
Yeah, I think that they published it. I can get a link.
30 days. That'd be great.
It's a really interesting program.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking about it. Very interesting. If you've heard of Denver's program, Denver.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to get. I think they.
Well,
I'm
on the
trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can.
Yeah. Perfect.
I'll pass it.
All right.
Because they
had
all
the
information.
Hmm.
there was all kinds of good information.
Right, it seems like it.
Links to the program and things like that. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions on that part of the board report? Hearing that, none. Before we go on to statistics, we do have a new dismissal schedule. All of the board members are probably very happy about that we've added Jeff Tigner to the schedule. starting in the end of February, and that gives us a while to do some training, to have you in the office and get some training in before we start you on that schedule. So congratulations on that.
Welcome.
Gives you all extra round of rotation.
All right. Now let's get to the investigation status. Mona, you want to give us an overview?
So as Mike mentioned previously, the highlight is number of complaints received for the first time in probably over 2 years has actually gone down from last year. Not gone down from 2 years ago, of course, but at least. As you mentioned, kind of seems to be leveling off a little bit. I think it was down a few percentage points from last year. So it's still, high, but as you mentioned, it appears to be leveling off, at least in short term. And we've continually, over the last several months, seen it go down smaller and smaller increments. So now it is leveling off. And it could be, the referrals from MPD went down kind of at the same point from the same time last year, so that could be part of it. I don't know what it is, or if it'll go back up. We could have a really busy few weeks because it is only a matter of less than 10 cases, but it's good to see that it is continuing to slowly go down and not increase, so that's good. Good sign. That's really the highlight. Contact's slightly down, but that's the highlight, and so
I saw that you guys went and you presented at the recruit classes at the academy. Are you presenting at PDT for the senior officers, for the officers?
We attend.
For the professionals. Do you present too?
Well, but I did just get the schedule from Director Bress yesterday for PDT this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she did say Internal Affairs is presenting a few-hour block that will include kind of complaint stuff, complaint issues, and things like that.
So you guys don't present what you're presenting to the recruits, you don't present to the officers that are already in?
We do participate in PDT.
Is there a reason? Do you know why you don't do that?
It's never been asked.
I think it might be a good idea. I think that would be, I'm going to recommend that to Rob. I think that would be a good idea.
We can talk after, too, because we're doing a lot of other things, kind of new, great things with the academy directly and having a lot of communication, communicating directly about with the roll call. So the roll call training since summer, a lot of those are coming from our complaints, and we're communicating regularly with them, and usually two or three of the five every month are directly coming from our suggestions and cases.
I know, but in the sense of, I would be curious to look at to see what you're presenting to the recruits, and it might be something in there that I think it would probably be advantageous for there to be some training for the officers that are already out there, versus their only interactions being with you all when they're coming down here to give a statement.
Right.
Yeah. Or that you all are investigating them.
Okay.
So I think that's the population.
More like the
I think we need to hit that population.
Like what OPC is and the process and things like that. Okay.
There has to be something,
saying.
I think, because now, I,
right.
yeah. So
okay. Right.
I think that will be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that interaction, Mona, with the academy, because we really, and it's, in large part, it's due to Mona's interactions, but we have a good relationship with the academy now, with the new leadership there. And, just by way of example, they have asked us for suggestions for their roll call trainings, and we've responded and met with some of the investigators here and have had input on that. And we look at possible complaints and scenarios that would help for the roll call trainings. The roll call, again, is where just a short, sometimes a short video, sometimes a short paragraph that a sergeant will read or require the officers to read in different districts for their shift or at the beginning of their shift. And one of the recent ones was, for example, was the traffic stops and obstructed license plates.
Mm-hmm.
That came out as a couple of complaints. And some of you may have seen some of those complaints come through on obstructed license plates. And so that was one of our suggestions, and they put out a roll call video. So we're trying to head things off. I think that's the real purpose of us is, and I preach this to our staff and everybody, our job is not to catch them doing something wrong. It's to help the MPD do the job better. So by getting to the officers, the street officers, through the roll call videos, can really go a long ways about stemming off continuing or ongoing problems that we're seeing. Because if we see two or three complaints, like on obstructed tags,
mm-hmm.
of tickets that should not have been written, you know, those two or three is just a small
part of what, that's why I think it's something you said when you said that, you know, your job just isn't to catch them doing something wrong, but to kind of evaluate what you see and then put forth recommendations and training. I think it would be good for the officers to hear that,
mm-hmm.
the seasoned officers. I think that introduction... I think will be good for them.
And accountability is just a portion of what our responsibility
is.
I mean, that's
exactly
where
I'm thinking
that it'd
be good.
And that is the stuff that I talk about at the recruit training.
With the recruit,
yeah. And about, you know,
that other big population.
And we're also, in addition to the feedback we're giving and suggestions we're giving for roll call training, and part of that is to catch like things as a, you know, sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But also having a lot of input in PDT as well. There's going to be a lot more Fourth Amendment training, which is helpful.
I agree. I'm
and on. Other stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying that is something. And we've talked a lot about communication, because we see a lot of that. It really comes down to communication and a lot
okay.
of these complaints. And so that's going to be the focus, apparently, because I actually just talked to Commander Ennis today about that. And so he said that's like really the kind of...
Oh, I know, because
approach.
I give him a lot
yeah.
of feedback
yes.
on where
yes.
I think we can strengthen
yeah.
our training for our officers.
Yeah.
And it's so. Good, you know, that you guys are giving recommendations, but I still think in order to bridge, we talk about bridging gaps, because to
yeah.
you all, to them, are just,
yeah.
you know, a
I know.
Big...
Yeah.
And if we can kind of, you know, to hear from, it's one thing to hear from me,
right.
what it is that you do, or to hear an instructor at the academy say it, but it's another thing for them to be able to kind of humanize what it is that you all do and what
yeah.
you're, why you're here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think.
No, I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be great. So, yeah.
I have a question on the numbers.
Okay.
It looks like there's about a 20% increase in open cases. What do y'all attribute that to?
I think a combination of things. One thing is, you know, the numbers are up still. Two, we're down an investigator. Three, we have three new investigators that
mm-hmm.
haven't been here more than not even 6 months. And I think a combination of those things, staffing does affect that, because we have transfer cases that go out. And then with new investigators, you know, it takes a while, with any new job, it takes a while to kind of get their caseloads fully up and get fully, you know, at the level that you have a full caseload and are moving a caseload at the level of investigators that have been here a while and are more experienced. So I think those are the main and it was the holidays, and I just think things slow down a little bit around the holidays. People take leave, and, you know, it's been, you know, in the last 2 months, there's been a lot of holidays. And so I feel like that's always something slows some stuff up
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes. So those are the reasons, I think. I don't know, Mike, if you have anything to add.
No, I think that those are all, it's not a number that I'm concerned at this point because of all those reasons. I think that another important number to keep track of is the closing, the average closing date. We're still, most of our cases are still being closed in a little bit over 2 months, just despite having more cases open, we're still, you know, keeping an eye on that. So if that trend were to continue, then we're going to look at some issues. But I'm going to meet with the council in the next, I think, month and a half. Mm-hmm. About a month from now, I got a hearing with the council on that. During the course of those meetings, I'm going to be asking for another position, another investigator position, to make sure that we don't start slipping away.
Do you have a feel, Mike, is our chances on that?
I think our chances are very good on that.
Is it already wired? Do you think it's highly likely?
I wouldn't say hardwired, but it may be on the Wi-Fi. Okay.
Yeah. Highly, highly.
Chairman Allen seems very amenable.
Good. I mean, we're hiring new police officers, too, and there should be some correlation between the number of police officers and the size of the staff here.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
No, very, very, I'm very confident that it'll be okay. But let's
see. So I know I love to add to your list, Mona,
uh-huh. I'm ready.
About stats. Uh-huh. But that's something that's not on here is just the average time it takes to close a case. Mm-hmm. And I would just be curious if we could just add that in.
So Matt does that?
Somebody.
We just haven't updated it recently, but we do it for the director. We'll get it in there.
That would be nice.
Do you also keep track of the complaints by ward or by district or whatever? I see that.
We do that in the annual report.
Yeah. And the mid-year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mid-year, annual. But you want it more often.
I can give you copies of those before we leave.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. For the reports, or do you want the numbers? We can just do the numbers down and let you know what they are for the first quarter.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Wait, what are we doing numbers
on? Ward-based.
Ward-based. Gotcha. Yes.
If you aren't aware, because we weren't aware until Twitter, MPD changed their districts, so that may affect the wards as well. So a little bit of geography has changed.
But the wards, they don't correspond with the districts anyway, so you could probably run them both ways, with wards and districts. Yeah. I think it's something wards. You could.
Yeah, we're able to do that. We can
That'd
do it either way.
Yeah.
And,
we'll do both based on
that. The point on Niels is just to give the board members an overview of. We can dig in as deep as anybody wants with all the data, with the stats, but we do put out in our annual usually, and frequently in our semi-annual too, we'll put that out in a little more detail to the public.
You know, Mike, I was going to say, I mean, I think from a citizen standpoint, the ward is more important for us to see different parts of town, but, you know, the police districts would be, and this is something I don't think the board really has ever touched on, is that, you know, we've looked at complaints about individual officers, and we've never kind of thought our particular districts having a problem, and maybe is there an issue of leadership? I mean, that is, our focus has always been on the individual officer and complaints about them, but never has a district seem to have an abundance or a lack or, you know, a low amount of complaints.
Interesting enough, it's actually evened out. I mean, there were years that there were a couple districts that had higher numbers by double-digit percentage. It's not like any one district has 50% and everyone else has 10.
Right.
But now, actually, this last year, last 2 years, it's really evened out more. Every district has between 12 and 18%, and most are like 15, 16. So it's pretty...
It's pretty consistent
now. It's like the difference is the lowest was like 12% and the highest was 18%. First district, but for a while there was like sixth district would consistently have like 25%, and then other districts were in more than the teens, and so, but that's really kind of shifted in the last 2 years, so it has evened out, so interesting, but yeah, that is something that we look at,
I'm pretty sure the department. We'll try to do from some perspective, or not other. But recently I was asked by the Internal Affairs chief, for example, could we give them a list of the top 10 officers with the most complaints over the last year? And we did that. So they look at both individual officers, and they look at, you know, we've when I meet in my periodic meetings, I know that the department administration looks at our distribution, our annual report, and semi-annual reports to the, for the distribution of the complaints, and now more recently, the distribution of the use of force incidents.
But distribution, not for the, in addition to the issue of are there certain communities or neighborhoods, but also is there certain leadership that doesn't
right.
seem to have, that seems right. to have a problem or seems to be doing a very good job.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. I agree.
Is there anything else? No, it's a relatively short meeting today. If there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We are officially adjourned at 18:35. At 6:35, I'm on the 24-hour clock here.
Thanks.
Thank you.